Good morning, good noon, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's your Orlando here again, bringing you the new episode of Opera Wears. I didn't intend to scare anyone by the random intro, but that's an excerpt from The Exterminating Angel from the Met Opera in season 2017 to 2018. I finished my script in the afternoon and I fell asleep, so I was a little bit late today. Okay, I know it's late, but happy holiday again here. One reason I love April is that we have so many breaks. Long story short, The Exterminating Angel is a three-act English opera based on the 1962 film of the same name, The Exterminating Angel. The film is a really interesting one, even though I don't even actually remember much of it, because I watched it all the way when I was in middle school. Trust me, I'll definitely watch it again during my spring break. It is one of the milestones in the history of surrealist cinema. Just a quick definition. Surrealism is the use of shocking, irrational, and absurd imaginary and Freudian dream symbolism to challenge the traditional fixed function of art to represent reality. With that being said, the opera was composed by Thomas Addis with libretto by Tom Kearns and Addis. It premiered in 2016 during the Salzburg Festival in the Mozart's House. And shortly after that, in the 17 to 18 season, the opera was presented at the stage of the Met. Unsurprisingly enough, I was a second grade student back then, but that is a thing that I learned recently, and that actually surprised me because I always thought it was an opera that's composed in the beginning of 21st century, before doing any research. I mean, technically, Addis did have the idea of composing the film into an opera in around 2000s, but he faced copyrights and all sorts of other problems that eventually caused this postponement. In the Met's 2017 performance, soprano Andrew Luna, who performed the role of Letizia, made the history by singing an A above the high C. Singing or hitting this note requires a significant vocal control skill and often extensive training. It is considered one of the highest and most challenging notes for a soprano to perform. And in 2020, they put the opera into a symphony, the Exterminating Angel Symphony, a four-movement orchestral rendering of music from the opera. And it was performed in 2021 during COVID. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised by it because I don't see much we can do from the original opera. I mean, it is a contemporary opera. And the thing is that you can't see much of the element of a qualified symphonical work inside. The rhythm is inside the singing for the most of the times. And one of the comments on the symphony I saw is, quotation mark, "It is the most beautiful ugly sound in the world." Let me just quickly play a few excerpts. Please lower the volume if you think you are scared by it. probably get a gist of it. So for this recording, credit for YouTube channel called 5 Against 4. So it's kind of chaos and have all sorts of what I'm expecting for a contemporary symphony. Unfortunately enough, I'm a opera podcaster, not a music critic or something, so I'll not comment too much on it. So let me try to conclude the story of the opera slash the film. Basically, just a bunch of wealthy people stuck in the mansion and found out the only way that will bring them freedom and emancipate is sacrification. Put it into acts. Act 1, the nobles host a dinner for opera singers Letitia. Chaos ensues, a servant flee, and accident happen. Guests insist on more entertainment. Secrets are revealed, and the night descends into confusion. In Act 2, the next morning brings no relief as the guests found themselves trapped. Tension rises and Russell's health deteriorates. Panic sets in as supplies run out and emotions run high. In Act 3, outside of the mansion is quarantined and the situation inside worsens. The alarm rings, ritual is attempted, and sacrifices are suggested for freedom. In a moment of realization, the cycle repeats, leading to eventual liberation for all. I don't have much to say about the performance at the Paris Opera. It's hard for me to say much when I'm not a part of the physical audience, but rather watching it online. I'll do my best, and please correct me if you feel something is wrong or you have any other opinion. There is no intermission for this 2-hour opera. Thus, one of the main problems that the stage design crew have to face is how to maximize their creativity and make it less boring for the audience when there's no big changes you can make. Even though we're in the same stage setting for the whole opera, but not like other mass production that I left negative comments on this year. I would like to say that the Paris Opera does something that's above my expectation. Why? Because MAP provides intermission and they are born into different levels. MAP's born is there's no visual appeal that lasts for a long time while they are having the same setting for 3 hours. But here, in this situation, the stage design Anna Sophia Crisk, the lighting design Reinhard Trub and the custom design Ingo Kurgler all did a great job of it. You can see the shadow reflecting on the character's struggle, people go from fancy clothes to rags, and how the mansion became a hell. I love the strain in the beginning of the first act. It somehow emphasized the tense, gradual to crash vibe and is nicely rendered emotional. I really like the thing, especially the music. But the problem within this opera is, I mean, this production of this opera slash the performance is that it is a contemporary opera. What this is reflecting is that most of the singers do have more experience singing those classics. For example, Jacqueline Stecker, who sang Lucia, her previous roles are Pamania from The Magic Flute, Darlena from Don Giovanni. Christine Rice, who sings Blanca, has previous roles as Jazz Bova from Ruska, Giulietta from The Tales of Hoffman and Emilia from Otello. What I'm trying to prove here is that most of the singers are a step from the realization that they are performing a contemporary opera, and there are less emphasis on the music for the audience. Because honestly, how can you expect all of the people sitting there enjoy contemporary music? So their presentation become very important because there are too many main singers on the stage. I'm not going to call out any names directly, but you can see they're affecting on the stage, not out of character, but they look as if they have some questions about the plot. They have too many small movement and random eye movement that make them look confused and lost on the stage. Another result is that some of the people look too formal while singing. Makes me wonder if I'm watching this messy, the story opera or not. They sing too demure and too reserved. And even by the time everyone was going crazy in the final act, they were still trying to keep their voice in check and a strained heart. Hand emotion as they can. Act 3 is personally my favorite act. Not only I enjoy all the people became crazy, but Gloria Trono, who sings Letizia, is so pretty. One thing I'm still wondering is that is her throat okay? Due to the copyright problem, I don't think I can show you what she did, but here's an example of the high E. But I found this video on YouTube that can demonstrate what is a high A sounds like. My microphone doesn't even have the capability to do that. So, in the Paris Opera's version of it, a problem that Gloria faced when she's doing that A over high C, which is a high A, her voice became through. And whether or not it actually would or sounded like it, it was a hard note to reach. She did let it sound out, but I don't think there's any way to avoid her voice receiving damage, and I think she still need more consideration before taking this role. Honestly, I don't have much to say, but wish I can see this opera in person one day. I do think I'll enjoy it. I mean, myself is some sort of crazy, and the opera really interested me. And as always, if you have any question, comment, opinions on what I said, or just want to talk to me, please email olinatan@gmail.com. It is olinatang@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and see you in my next episode. So for my future plan, I don't think next week I have any time for opera simply because I have to travel to Princeton University again. Not for Anthony Ruth Costanzo, who also performed this opera, but I registered myself for the Splash program. It is just a like one-day college-level course program, but I think I'll have fun at Princeton. But when I come back next week, I'll probably do the new opera. I mean, it's not new for now because it has been up for like 2 weeks. Fireshadow in my Bones and also John Adams and Nino, since, well, first of all, I love John Adams, and second of all, I did went to Julia Bookluck's version of Nino, and I think that'll be a really interesting offer for me to see, since I already have the previous expectation or like previous perspective on that. Yeah, that's probably it. So, see you in my next episode. Yay!